Hallelujah. I was praying yesterday for the service today. And I said, oh Lord, let us just give way to the spontaneous moving of your Holy Spirit. Just let the Holy Spirit come by and take over and accomplish what he desires to do. Amen. That's our desire. He knows how to do things best. Amen. How many believes he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel like we need to praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, if you love Jesus, tell him so. Tell him so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll be re-entering our series about the end time from the epistles to the Thessalonians. And Brother Michael, you may have turned a house down and these up or something is a little out of whack. Something besides me is a little out of whack this morning. As you're turning, just remain seated for the first part, but just since it's been several weeks since we've been able to minister from these passages, I wanted to refresh by reading, just review where we've been the last little bit. Paul said in verse 1, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." That's where we've been. The Lord is coming. Don't listen to the people of the world that says everything's going to get better here. There's going to be a solution. We're not here to be a calamity hour. If the Lord wasn't coming, the news would be nothing but depressing, because there will not be a solution, a man's solution. But there's more to this. The Lord is coming again. Amen. Would you stand? We'll read our text for today, beginning at verse 4. "But ye, brethren and sistren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." Would you read the last part of that with me all over the building? Let's join in unison and read that. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Let's read that again. We are not of the night, nor of dark. I shouldn't have to preach. We ought to just shout right there. Amen. Verse 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." Here's another shouting verse. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but he's appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." There is a day of wrath coming, but it's not on our schedule because we won't be here. Hallelujah. One more verse. "Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Let's go ahead and get verse 11. "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Amen. I want to preach this morning of the day and not of the dark. Of the day and not of the dark. I believe there's a very real darkness in this world. And everyone that lives in that darkness will be totally unprepared for the coming of the Lord and the day of wrath that comes with his coming. Those that live in darkness will be unprepared. But those that are walking in the light, hallelujah, that have fellowship with God because they're walking in the light. They are going to be watching and prepared and ready when Jesus comes. That's why I'm glad I can say this morning, I'm not in the dark. I'm in the day. Hallelujah. How many is in the daylight of Christ Jesus, the light? Oh, let's praise Him as we ask Him to move. Lord, we pray that You would move this morning in the preaching of the Word. We pray that You'd shut up our minds to the truth. I pray, Father God, that You would remove every distraction. I pray You'd move by the power of Your Holy Spirit, and that we would leave here differently, meet every need that's represented in the house by the moving of the power of the divine Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I went back to Shawnee, Oklahoma to pick up my dad, and while I was at their house, we always take a walk. Their house is a quarter block from Main Street. We always take a walk up Main Street. And like a lot of cities, Main Street has died, replaced by the shopping strip malls and malls and all that other stuff. But as we were walking from the house, began that walk up Main Street, just right as you get started where the businesses happen or the buildings are, I begin to think of a time in my youth and teenage years when that first little part of Main Street, it was the bad end of Main Street, it was the east end of Main Street, there was some taverns there. They had rented out the little storefronts and they put taverns there. Now, when I was a little kid, in the summer, spring, they would open the doors of those taverns, I guess, to catch a cool breeze and to try to invite somebody in. And as a kid, it was a curiosity thing. As I walked by, I'd always look through the door of those taverns. I wasn't tempted to become an alcoholic. I was just curious. You know, that's a bad place. That's a tavern. And I'd look through the door. And the thing that struck me then, and then later, when I got called to preach, myself and some other young preacher boys on a certain night of the week, we would go down there and we'd stand in front of those taverns and hand tracts out to the people as they came in and out, and we would witness to them. But now, as a young preacher, I remember the same thing, looking through the door into that tavern. Taverns. And the thing that struck me both as a child and as a young preacher was how dark it was when you peered through the door into the tavern. I mean, it was dark, and they purposely make it dark in there, and the darkness isn't just a physical darkness. You could be out in the bright sunlight and look through the door into the darkness, and it was just a little room of darkness. But I believe things are much worse today. It's not being out in the bright light and looking into a little cubbyhole of darkness. Today, the little cubbyhole is the light, and when you look through the door of the church, you look through the door of the Christian home, you look through that door, and all you see is darkness everywhere. How many knows we are living in a dark time that is becoming increasingly more dark? I want you to know this morning, there is a darkness in our world. There is an evil in our world. There is a spiritual darkness. There's a moral darkness. There's a mind darkness. There's a heart darkness. Amen. We have problems right now, and we ask ourselves, why can't the leaders, why can't people see the solution to their problems? They cannot see the solution. They cannot see the answer because we're living in a darkness. It's everywhere. It is permeated. It's thicker than any fog that has moved in. Darkness is everywhere. Listen, as I preach this message, I have to call our attention to the fact that we are living in a time when people are reluctant to call anything dark and reluctant to call anything evil. Preachers, government officials, radio commentators, TV commentators, teachers, nobody wants to call anything
evil and darkness. But that does not change a thing. They may not call it darkness, but it is darkness out there. Darkness everywhere. As darkness, physical darkness, is the absence of God or absence of light, so spiritual darkness is the absence of God. And when you take God out of the school, God out of the government, you take God out of the home, you take God out of the community, there's going to be darkness, because only God is light. Can you say amen? Amen. There's a darkness. Ignorance of God is darkness. Exclusion of God is darkness. Rebellion against God's laws is darkness. Immorality is darkness. Satan is darkness. His cohorts are darkness. Amen. But spiritual darkness is not just the absence of light. It's an essence. It's a thing. It's a power. It's a person. We're living in a dark world. And those who do not follow Christ, not only are they in darkness, but darkness is in them. You've got to understand that about our world. People aren't just living in darkness. Darkness is living in people. I'm telling you, it's dark out there. It's like a heavy fog that's moved in upon the minds of our leaders. And most people living today in our society, Brother Steve, they don't know anything but darkness. They were born into the darkness of their home. They go into the darkness of a schoolhouse. They live at a time when there's darkness in the government. There's darkness everywhere. But oh, I'm preaching this morning. If men only knew there's an option to darkness, there is the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ that dispels every darkness. Hallelujah. How many's glad you saw the light this morning? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Anyone here have the light of light? Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I'm preaching, it's dark out there, but it's light in here. Amen. I like our lighting in this place. It might have upped the electric bill. Brother Steve, I like our lighting. I'm not being critical. It's a personal preference. But I hate going into a church where you can't see the words on the songbook. It's just dark in there. No light from windows. No. Thank God. Get it bright as you can in the church, because it's representative in the dark world. We're a city set on the hill with people here that are filled with the light of Jesus Christ. But the main message this morning is, all who live in the darkness of this world will not be ready when Jesus comes. They will not be ready when judgment comes. But we who have come out of the darkness, oh hallelujah, is anyone going to help me this morning? I said, but we who have come out of the darkness, amen, we who have had the light shine in our hearts, we are going to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We're going to see it coming, and our hearts are going to be prepared. I want you to notice from the text, first of all, the danger of the darkness. Verse 4 says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. This morning we ought to be able to shout with joy that we can say we are not in darkness. That's the history for us. That's the past. Those who live in darkness, have the darkness live in them, as I've been preaching, are going to be totally unprepared for the coming of the Lord. Notice what Paul says, how he ties us together. He says, but ye brethren are not in darkness. Even if you are in darkness today, you are not a brother. That's not being derogatory. That just means you haven't been born again into the family of God. Because if you've been born born again to the family of God, ye are not in darkness. Hallelujah. How many's been born again to the family of God? I can tell you, like Paul told you, you're not in darkness. There is a danger in the darkness. Those who live in it will be unprepared for the coming of the Lord. Let me put it another way. Every person living in the darkness of this world will not be ready when Jesus comes. It makes no difference if one time they were born again, one time they knew the truth. If they're living in darkness right now, if Jesus were to come, they would not be prepared. There's folks living in that darkness. Darkness of sin, darkness of not knowing God, darkness of following their selfish ways, darkness of seeking only the gratification of the flesh, darkness of addiction, darkness of illicit sexual relationships. It's a darkness everywhere you look. Darkness on the TV, darkness on the radio, darkness on the computer, darkness in the political realm, darkness in the economic realm. And the most alarming thing about the darkness is those that live in it will be ill-prepared and unprepared when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. But we who are the light, that's one reason we should want nothing to do with the darkness, other than to dispel it. Oh, we have nothing to do with the darkness. That's why I believe we should have an aversion to it. I don't get it when professed Christians are fascinated with the things of darkness. You may think I'm old-fashioned. Amen. But when professed Christians are fascinated with witchcraft via Harry Potter or whoever else, when professed Christians are fascinated in television programs and series about vampires. I don't even know the name. I believe one of them's Twilight. I don't know. But when Christians are fascinated with that, they need to know something. They are fascinated with darkness. I don't care who produces it. I don't care if you say there's good magic, good vampires, good witches. It comes straight out of darkness. And if you're a Christian living in the light, you want nothing to do with darkness. You want the light. Hallelujah. If it's not darkness in the minds of those that are pushing deviant lifestyles and pushing these occultic things through the mediums of media, I don't know what darkness is. Amen. I'll tell you something else. It's amazing how much darkness comes from the light of a computer screen. I'm not preaching against technology. But there's a lot of darkness piped into people's homes and piped into people's minds through a television screen, a computer screen. Amen. We Christians, we're not of the darkness. We don't want that. Listen, friend, here is the secret of victory. Here is the secret of preparedness. While the world is steeped in ever-increasing darkness, stumbling in the blackness of night, you and I can live and walk in the light. And being in the light of Jesus Christ, we'll see the end coming and we'll be prepared for it. Even driving back from Shawnee in Hannah's car, and my dad and Hannah were in his vehicle. He left that at Neosho, and I was trying to listen to NPR, and they came on with an interview I really wanted to hear. Evidently, you may know something more about this. Evidently, there's a group that is saying on May 21st of this year, there is going to be a tremendously great earthquake, and then that's going to be followed in October 21st by, as Peter said, the passing away of the elements, the atmosphere and the universe and the earth. They're going to melt with fervent heat, and this group fervently believes this. Now, first of all, I want to make clear, I believe they're wrong. I don't have time to preach it, but the Bible makes clear you can't set a date. I mean, if there's anything clear, familiar about prophecy. No man knows the day or the hour. Amen. But the Father. Amen. That's the way it is. But even though they're wrong, you could tell it in the tone of the commentator. They thought that was the biggest joke they ever heard. There was ridicule dripping from every statement the commentator made. Amen. I'm sure they thought they were being fair and accurate and whatever. But you could tell it was a big joke to them. I'll tell you why it was a big joke to them. It's their living in darkness. If anybody thinks the coming of Jesus is unrealistic, is a joke, is a farce, is a legend, they think that because they're living in darkness. I don't believe you can set a date, but living in the light, I can see from God's word and God's spirit that the coming of the Lord is nigh, even at the door. Amen. You get that living in the light. The danger of living in the darkness is you'll never see it coming. Secondly, I believe our scriptures point out the difference between those in the dark and those in the day. I believe there ought to be a difference in God's people. Hallelujah. I was on a thing a while back and I beat that drum till I wore out the drum skin. But if there is no difference, there is no difference. But if there is a difference, there's going to be a difference. I believe there's a difference between those who live in the day and those that live in the dark. A distinct difference. We used to have a saying, I haven't heard in so many years, I'm not sure exactly how we said it, but we'd be contrasting something and we would say it's as different as between daylight and dark. How many's ever used that expression? I'm telling you, I still believe that the difference between God's people, the church, and the world ought to be the difference between daylight and dark, because in reality, that's what it is. It's a difference of light and dark. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the change Jesus made? What a difference. I don't know if you noticed when I read this, but Paul talks about two groups of people. At first, he says you, then he joined himself with them and said we, but then he said them. Amen. Let us not sleep as do others, for they that sleep in the night. In other words, Paul divides them into two categories. He said there are we who live in the light, and there are they that live in darkness. The Bible constantly does this, those that are saved and those that are perishing. Amen. Here in our text, you have the categories, the children of the light and the children of the darkness. We and them. It's God and Satan. It's good and evil. It's righteousness and unrighteousness. It's holiness and unholiness. It's truth and it's error. I know that drives people crazy today when they say the only truth is what's true to you, and your truth may not be true to me, and your right may not be right to me. It's all a blurred thing, but it's not blurred in the Bible. You're in one of two camps. You're either in the camp of the children of light or you're in the camp of the children of darkness. I don't preach that to be mean. I preach it because it's true. And if you are in the children of the dark camp, amen, you can be saved and you can transfer to the children of the light. Hallelujah. There's a difference between the two. Heart by heart, home by home, neighborhood by neighborhood, there are places of darkness and places of light. Darkness is no longer in a nightclub stuck off somewhere off a back alley. Darkness is in the homes on the main avenues of our country today. Amen. But, Brother Keith, we are not of the night. You know what Paul said? We are not of the night, nor of darkness. I don't care how dark it is out there. We're not of that. We're separate from that. We are not of the night. We don't do the things of those in the night. I'm not sure they heard me over here. I'll be back. I said we don't do the things of those in the night. We don't desire the things of those in the night. We don't pursue the things of those. We're not of the night. We're not of the dark. We're of the light. Hallelujah. We love the things of light. We do the things of light. We pursue the things of light. There is a difference. There is a difference. When it's dark in this world, we can be living in the light. Now I'll tell you, the only light this world has is the light that comes through this gospel, through those that preach it, and through those that live it. That's the only light in this world. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. It ought to be evident to people that we are of the day. I've told you this before, but your phone does too. But my phone's got a little indicator light, just a little pinpoint of a light that when you're charging it, that light comes on first red and then green. I was in Evangelist Quarter a few years back at another church. It had no windows. And when I turned the light off at night, the only light in that room was that little pinpoint. You could even see if it was on right now. But I'm telling you, when my eyes got adjusted, that little pinpoint of light seemed like it lit up that whole room. Hallelujah. We don't curse the darkness. We shine our lights. And the darker this world becomes, the more brilliant and light the light of the Christian ought to be. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Brother Mark, when you walk into work, it may be dark in there, but you're a light that goes into that place of work. Your neighborhood may be deteriorated. There may be drugs. There may be parties. There may be darkness everywhere. But in your neighborhood, if you're a born-again believer, there's light. Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad there's a difference? Oh, glory to God. I wish somebody would remember what it was to live in darkness, but then know what it is to come into the light. Do you remember when you embraced the light? Even if you and I live no differently than the unsaved around us, if we partake of the same things, love the same things, we are not of the day. We're of the dark, and we'll be unprepared for Jesus coming. Next of all, in the text, I note the deeds of those in darkness and the deeds of those in day. Look what it says in verse 6. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Some animals are nocturnal. I've spent many years hunting in the woods. One thing I always wanted to see, and they were there, I just never saw one, was a flying squirrel. The reason I never saw one is because I wasn't a coon hunter. I hunted in the daytime. And a flying squirrel is nocturnal. Because its nature is such as it is, it's only active. Its habits are only active in the night. There's other animals, you could not get them to move at night outside. He just really ran them out of there. There's other animals, it comes nighttime, they're in a hole somewhere, and they're not coming out because their nature is they don't live in the dark. They live in the light. And as it is with animals, so it is with the soul of man. If your nature is an unborn again nature, then your habits are going to be those. Your activity is going to be that of the night, of the dark. But if you have been born again, hallelujah, your nature is different. And your activity is going to be in the light. That's why Paul said, you're children of the light, children of the day, or you're children of the night. Amen. It's your nature that determines what you exist in, you live in, you come alive at. Hallelujah. I'm looking at folks right now. Your nature is the children of the light. Therefore, you love the light. Hallelujah. Amen. Now what I want to notice before we move forward, the children of the light, they watch and are sober. They're looking for Jesus coming. And sober doesn't mean they haven't been, you know, though it means that too, but it means they are self-disciplined, they are self-controlled, and they take things seriously. I believe in a good laugh. I believe God created humor. I believe all that. But that's why I cannot stand the frivolity, the frivolous attitude, amen, ushered in by the entertainment mode that has come across our churches. Amen. We are to be sober. I'm not talking sad. Some people take that word sober, you go around looking mean. How many knows Christians out here? Just me. Now, that might look drunk, but that will work too. They just look mean. Sober doesn't mean mean. It means you're serious about, you recognize what is at stake. You are in control of yourself and your desires. They watch and are sober, but the children of the dark, they sleep and they're drunken. I want you to notice in those two things, sleep and drunken, that there are two results of being in darkness, and there are two responses to darkness. The first of those is sleep. Amen. Some in the darkness sleep. I'm not, well, I won't even go there. Amen. I was going to get on that sleep thing for a while, but I'll just go right around. Is that all right? All those that are awake say amen. Amen. There are some that sleep in the night. Now, these are folks, they're not doing evil. They're not drunk. They're not doing drugs. They're not being illicit. Amen. They're not really involved in the darkness of this world. Amen. But they sleep because they don't seem to be aware and realize what's going on. They're indifferent to what's going on. They're complacent. They're unmoved. They're unresponsive. They're uncaring. I'm talking about when it gets dark, some people go to sleep. They become apathetic, Sister Chrisman. They are blind to what's happening in our world. Amen. And their characteristic of those who are in the dark, amen, they just don't care. They go asleep. Amen. There are some in darkness. You can't point your finger at them, Sister Penny, and say they're an evil person. But the darkness has them anyway because they're asleep because they don't care about their soul. They're complacent to what's going on. And that's how some Christians respond to darkness. They go to sleep. They become complacent. But Paul said, we're of the light. We don't go to sleep when it gets dark. We come alive. Amen. But the other group is those who respond with drunkenness. These are folks that love the night. They love the darkness. They live riotously in it. Amen. There's folks like this. Jesus said, this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he that doeth truth, he cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made known, that they are wrought in God. Amen. There are those that love the darkness. They get drunk in it. Amen. Just a little bit of trivia here. Amen. For every drunken driver that is caught, there's between 80 and 100 that they don't catch. Every night, every day, you're out on the roads. For every drunken driver they catch, there's between 80 and 100 they don't catch. We're living in a drunken time. Men are drunk. Amen. They're drunk. That's why they love the darkness. It's because they like the activity of darkness. Drunkenness. Stay with me. We're going to wrap this up, but this is important stuff. Amen. I told Micah I was going to use him as illustration. My kids were young. I used to ask permission. Now I just go ahead and do it. I don't like to be told no. But he's got a hard schedule. Most of the week, he works all night, supposed to sleep in the day. And the rest of the week, he's supposed to sleep at night and be up at day. And I'm telling you, he's one messed up dude. How many's done that? You know that just messes you up. Your body is programmed to respond to light and dark, and you get it out of schedule, and you're all messed up. If you've had jet lag, you know what I'm talking about. And he's all messed up because he's trying to live in both the light and the dark. He knows this. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of messed up Christians because they're trying to live in both the light and the dark. It ain't going to do anything but mess you up. I choose light. I choose light. Amen. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. I want to tell you the truth this morning. Once you and I declare we're done with darkness, once we separate from darkness, once we denounce darkness, once we have our exodus from darkness, that darkness becomes our enemy. Darkness and everything in it becomes our enemy. It's against the believer, and it seeks to destroy us. That's why Paul gives reference to the armor here. He said, if you're going to be children of the light, the darkness that you leave becomes your enemy. Listen, we leave the darkness, but we don't flee from it. We face it. It will try to harm us and overcome us, but we who are of the light, we're going to fight the very darkness. That's why Paul mentions this armor. We cannot survive in the face of the darkness of our world without God's armor. Amen. Have you thought of how many deaths there would be on football fields if the players didn't wear helmets? Have you thought of how necessary it is for a bicyclist, a motorcyclist to wear helmets? Just recently in our area, tragically, a young girl was killed on a bike as she went out in traffic. And one of the first things they said is she wasn't wearing a helmet. I'm telling you, there's evil out there. There's darkness that seeks to destroy us and overcome us. But thank God, He has provided an armor. And Paul says here, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We can face the darkness with faith. We can face the darkness with love, and we can face the darkness with hope. Hallelujah. I've come out of the darkness, but I'm not running from it. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God, and in these dark days, we're not cowering. We're going to advance and combat the darkness. Last of all, Paul notes the destruction of those in darkness and the deliverance of those in the day. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. God's not appointed us to wrath. We could shout right there again. It's not on our agenda. It's dangerous to live in the dark, because those that live in the dark are going to suffer destruction. But those, Sister Debbie, that live in the day, we're not going to have that day of wrath. He has delivered us. He has saved us. We're not going through that. Aren't you glad? Live in the light. You'll escape the destruction that's coming. These weddings around here can be hurtful things. I've got a bad habit at night in our buildings here of walking around in the dark. You don't want to startle me. Any of you that's done it, you don't want to startle me. I'll break your leg and mine too. But I forget sometimes things are going on. I heard something run at the Vaughn Hall, went in there in the dark to check it. I forgot they set up for a wedding. I went walking through there. I don't walk slow either. And I ran into one of those benches on that table right here. I'm not going to show you, but I still got a big old scar right there. Looks like you learned, doesn't it? A few months later, we had another wedding. Came barreling through the doors of this church, and somebody took our welcome desk and set it in the middle of the foyer. I got the other leg. If we have any more weddings, it's going to kill me. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. And if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? The mugger waits in darkness. The washed out bridge is unseen because of the darkness. The snake lies coiled up in the darkness. Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Aren't you glad we can say we're in the light and we're going to escape the destruction because we're walking in the light? We are in the place. I gave you that illustration. I couldn't see what was ahead to change course when I needed to. And if we're in darkness, we won't be able to see ahead to change course when we need to. Music, would you come? Hallelujah. But I want to end with this note. We are not in that darkness to suffer the day of wrath, but we are in the light. We are in the place where we're not going to be destroyed. We're going to be delivered. That's why we can shout when Peter says, ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people that you should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Aren't you glad for light? Hallelujah. It's going to be night. It is night. But for the people of God, it's going to be like it was when the Egypt plagues come. How remember when God sent the one plague of darkness? It said darkness was everywhere in Egypt. But it said in the houses of Israel, there was light. God put a difference between Egyptian and Israelite. And when darkness came upon the Egyptian, the Israelite, the people of God, had light. I want to live in the light, don't you? Hallelujah. Walk in the light that we have. I told you about listening to that radio program, and Dad and Hannah were in the vehicle behind me. But I couldn't get much out of that program. You want to know why? They kept interrupting it. I mean, I was interested in that. Earthquake, huge earthquake, May 21st. I was interested in that. But I couldn't get much out of it. They kept interrupting the program. I mean, can you imagine? And the reason they were interrupting the program, when we left the turnpike, was headed 60 east there, they interrupted the program, and just a county or two over, there was a tornado on the ground. And they just get started in that program I was interested in. And they'd interrupt it to tell us about a tornado on the ground. Didn't get to hear much of that program. Finally, I said, well, maybe it is important. And I called Hannah's cell phone, woke her up, and I said, did you know that there's a tornado just a county or so over from us here? Things could get bad. No, we didn't know it. Because I was in the light. I had the radio on. They were in the dark. They had it off. They had no idea of the danger that we were potentially in. It pays to walk in the light because you're going to see it coming. But if you're in the dark, you're not going to know it. Could you stand? Amen. If you're in the light, I want you to lift your hands and just thank Jesus that he's the light that has dispelled the darkness of your life. Could you thank him? Oh, let's thank him all over the building. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray, saints. Hallelujah. If you're here today, you would just be real honest. This isn't derogatory. It's the state of every person until they come to Christ and surrender to Jesus. If you're here, you'd say, it's so dark in my world. Even my thoughts are dark thoughts. My feelings are dark feelings. I'm tired of the darkness of my life or my home or my world. I need the light, Jesus Christ. If you're desirous for Christ to shine his light into your life today, I want you just to slip out from where you are. Come to this stair that we use as an altar. Somebody will be immediately here to pray with you. But you're just tired of the darkness. I'm glad there's more than just darkness. I'm glad I can tell you that Jesus is the light of the world. And all that come to him and determine to follow him will not walk in darkness. They will have the light. Listen, the light of life. Are you here? You're tired of the darkness. You'd like life today. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come right now. Hallelujah. All right. If you're here and you're the children of the light and you want to be fully aware, amen. God bless you, young lady. You want to be fully aware of what is coming. Amen. I want you church to gather in. Amen. If you're here today and you're one of those I spoke of, you're tired of the darkness, just come with the church as they come, and somebody will be here to pray with you. Amen. The light of Christ is going to shine this morning. Amen. There's a lot of darkness. Amen. This young lady lives in. Amen. I don't know her circumstances. Amen. But there's a lot of darkness. But Jesus is going to shine his light. Oh, she'll know. Oh, she'll understand. How many children of light do we have that like to come and pray and say, oh Lord, I want to dispel the darkness of my world. I want to put on the armor of God and fight against it. Hallelujah. Would you come? Let's seek him today. Hallelujah. Pray with somebody if someone comes to pray. Hallelujah. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let faith light a candle in the dark. Let the fire of hope start burning in your heart. Don't you ever give in to all the darkness around you. Let faith light a candle in the dark. Oh, let faith light a candle in the dark. Let the fire of hope start burning in your heart. Don't you ever give in to all the darkness around you. Let faith light a candle in the dark. Let your faith light a candle in the dark. Let the fire of hope start burning in your heart. Don't you ever give in to all the darkness around you. Let faith light a candle in the dark. Let your